Okay, good morning everybody. Shavuot Tov. Almost Chodesh Tov, Ezer Hashem, a few days, Erev Rosh Chodesh Kislev, hard to believe. So I hope everyone is having had a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratzim Mefanecha, Al Rachim V'chanim, Shetizakeni Hayom V'chol Yom Lishmar Pi U'lishani Milashin Har U'lechilas. As a hair milita bear, a few lalish yachi, but college cana kaiso, or a chelak mehem, but college can misraim amidos of shakolish barhu. As our milita bear, the very shaker, hanufa, mechokas, ka askaiva, o na as dvarm, how bonus panim late sonus, with haliber usser, is a cany shall dabber kim dabber hat sarich, the inani goofy vinafshi, viu, kom asai, with the burai, the shame shamaim, amen, the amen. We are learning Liluin Ishmaso and the Zechon Ishmaso Tzvi Gerashan, and Yo Vachana Lavasham, and the Hashem made a continuous aliyah in the Zchus of these Devei Torah and Avodas Hashem that we Be'ezer Hashem share. Also, Zchus Aliyah Neshama and Zechirah Tovah for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, Alav Hashalom. And finally, with your permission, for continued Besoros Tovas and Rafuas for Bracha Vigaya Bas Rachel Getah. So let us get back into our very important learning. So what we are actually learning is we're going to be going back into the Sefer. Okay. And I'm going back into the Sefer, which we have not done for a little while. Something was always coming up. The actual Sefer, the text that this class is based on, is Kuntros Chovas Hashmira, Sefer of the Chofetz Chaim, the Kuntros Chovas Hashmira, the pamphlet, but it's more than a pamphlet, the Sefer of the obligation to guard one's tongue. So we are in Perek Yudalit. Okay, and we're in Perek Yudalit, and we are speaking about Ona Asdvar. And this is what the Chofetz Chaim is speaking about. If you happen to have the Sefer, I'm on page 174, but I'm going to be reading everything and explaining as well. So we are going to be continuing the Chofetz Chaim here, as Chusa Yagin Elenu is speaking about the idea of Ona Asdvarim, which translates as verbal oppression. Verbal oppression is one of the verbal abuse. Verbal oppression is one of the forms of forbidden speech. And I say it all the time, but I think that's something that has emanated from our learning and our years-long avoda, is this idea that there is such a broad range of things that are forbidden to speak. It's not just lashon hara, but there are other categories of forbidden speech. I will tell you that totally because of this class, I'm not lying, I'm not joking. The week before last, Friday was November 11th. It was something on the calendar, right? What was that day? Veterans Day. There's a certain reason I remember. Something came up. Somebody was being very unreasonable, very unfair, very difficult, very not yashar. I wanted so badly to speak about this people to my husband. It was only to my husband. And you could say that you're allowed to vent, get it off your chest. It was very, very hard for me. I wanted so badly. They were not being reasonable or fair or yashar. I can tell you, and I said, Hashem, I want to speak it so badly. And I didn't. And it was very, very, very hard for me. It wasn't like in 1 minute. It was ongoing, because it was an ongoing matzav. And I really didn't. And I would tell you that it's 100% because of this shear. I was able to hold back, Baruch Hashem. And then again, just the other day, something else happened, less significant. But again, I wanted to speak about it. I said, I'm not going to speak about even one epoch, one holding back and hold up worlds, and I didn't. And I hope that, I'm just telling you this for the Tohelas, so I hope that from this shiur, you also find that you're much more sensitive, much more aware to what we say, how we say it, to whom we say it, when we say it. And not just myself, it's just an example. But I'll tell you, those two times, absolutely, I was able to hold back because of the Shir Baruch Hashem. I hope you also feel an impact in your lives, because that's the whole point of learning. Lil modu la made lishmar vela asos ula kayim, as called Vei Tamu Torah Secha Bahava. So we are going to continue this idea, this topic, this halacha, actually, of Onas Dvarim. So the Sefer, where we're up to, Kuntros Chovas Hashmira, page 174, I am in Perek Yudalet. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim is now talking about the law as it is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. I did not look up the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which I'm going to explain to you what the Chofetz Chaim is talking about. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim begins by saying, B'Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Chav Ches. Okay, He says that the Shulchan Aruch, when he codified the Jewish law, lo ha'etik divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'rak din ha-mishnah. What is he saying? That the Shulchan Aruch did not codify the words of Rabbi Yehuda as the halacha, only the din of the mishnah. What is this referring to? So he is quoting, the Chavetz Chaim here is referring to the Gemara in Bava Metzia, okay, Nun Ches, Amud Beis. Right, first the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and we went through this some months ago, but here we're talking about a specific Nakuda because the Chavetz Chaim is quoting the codification of law in regard to Onas Dvarim in the Shulchan Aruch. So what's the halacha? First we go to the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah says, as quoted by the Gemara, in Bava Metzia Nun Ches Amud Beis, here we go. Lo yomar lo bekama chifetz ze, the potential buyer, the window shopper, should not say to the store owner, how much is this? V'hu eino rotza likach. He doesn't want to buy it. He just has no interest in the sweater, but for whatever reason, he goes into the small Jewish-owned shop, and he really knows he could afford it. He just doesn't want it. He's not interested, but he said he doesn't like it. I'd say it's not nice. He doesn't need another sweater. She doesn't need another sweater. But she says to the store owner, how much is this? So the Mishnah says, listen carefully, lo yomar lo makab, lo yamar lo mekama chifetz de v'hu eino rotza likach. You shouldn't say, how much is this, and you don't want to buy it. Rabbi Yehuda on the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, same Amud in the Gemara. Now the Gemara comes along, the Amaram come along, and they explain what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo yisla eino v'alamikach b'sha she'ein lo damim. He should not cast his eyes upon an item for purchase when he doesn't have money. What's the difference? The Mishnah says you shouldn't say how much is this and you don't want to buy. Who eino rotza likach. Rabbi Yehuda says you shouldn't cast your eyes upon an item if you don't have money. Those are two very different things. Not wanting to buy doesn't mean you don't have money. It means maybe you don't like the sweater. Maybe you're just window shopping. Maybe you're bored, so you went to Central Avenue because you had nothing else to do and you're just asking the price even though you have no intention of buying it. The first one is v'hu eino rotza likach. That's the opinion of the Mishnah. You don't want to purchase it. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and he says, af lo yisla eino v'ala mikach. You shouldn't cast your eyes upon the purchase, upon the object for purchase, b'shash eino damim. If he doesn't have money. So how do we paskin? What's the halacha? Does it depend on if you want or you don't want to buy it, or if you have money or you don't want to have money? It's two different things. You could have a lot of money, but you don't want to buy the item. Or does it have to do with the amount of money that you have? And then if you don't have the money, you shouldn't say how much is the sweater, because you could like it, but you don't have the money for it. Two different categories. One is eino rotza likach. He's not interested, so you don't ask how much it costs if you're not interested. The other is Rabbi Yehuda says ein lo damim. He doesn't have money. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you shouldn't ask how much it costs, because if the sweater costs $500 and you only have $100 in your wallet, so I don't know who would buy a sweater for $500, but I'm sure there would be people. I'm just using an example. And you only have $100 budget to spend on a sweater, so you shouldn't ask. So now we go back to Chavetz Chaim, who's quoting the codification of halacha of Onas Dvarim according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Hoshem Mishpat Simon Reish Chav Ches Lo Ha'etik Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So the Chavetz Chaim says that the Shulchan Aruch in the codification of law does not quote the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Rabbi Yehuda is Ein Lo Damim. He doesn't have money. So if you don't have money, don't ask him at your cost. Why are you asking him at your cost if you don't have money? You can't afford it. So why are you asking him at your cost? You know you can't buy it. The Rak din of Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch only quotes the din of the Mishnah. What's the din of the Mishnah? Who eino rotza likach? He doesn't want to buy it. V'hu eino rotza likach. So why the kasha is in the codification of law? Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch quote the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda also? Why does the Shulchan Aruch only say onas dvarim is eino rotza likach? Like the Mishnah says, if you don't want to buy it, what about the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Ve'ein lo damim, doesn't have money. Okay, so now the Chavetz Chaim is going to explain as follows. It's possible that you could understand it to be one din, one law. How so? Dekevon she'ein lo ma'os, because he doesn't have money, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Eino rotza likach, the opinion of the Mishnah. So the Chavetz Chaim says, maybe the Shulchan Aruch doesn't need to codify it as the Jewish law. Why not? Because it's understood that they're one and the same. They're connected. Perhaps, as the Chavetz Chaim, how do you connect them? Rabbi Yehuda is explaining why he doesn't want to buy it. Dekevon she'ein lo ma'os, opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because he doesn't have the money. Therefore, that's the Gemara. Eino rotza likach. That's the Mishnah. So when Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have the money, according to this pshat of the Chavetz Chaim, he's explaining why the Mishnah says he doesn't want to buy. He doesn't want to buy because he doesn't have money. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't codify the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to this pshat, it's obvious. The reason Eino Rotza Likach is because She'eino Ma'os, he doesn't have money. That's one idea. The Efshar disfavored the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and it's possible also that the Shulchan Aruch held, the Shulchan Aruch held that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kesher Rotza Likach, even when he wants to buy, Rak Keivan De'eino Dami Machshav. Oh, it's possible that he does want to buy it, but he doesn't have money right now. So maybe, okay, so the first pshat is they're one and the same. Because he doesn't have money, Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't want to buy the Mishnah. But now maybe there's a different pshat. He wants to buy it, but he doesn't have money right now to buy it. So he goes, she goes in, she sees that the sweater costs $500. She loves the sweater, she has to have it. She doesn't know that there's going to be, you know, sales coming up in 2 weeks. She really wants it, but she doesn't have the money. So in that case, they're not the same. She does want it, but she can't afford it. V'lu yada hamocher miza. However, if the seller knew this, you go and you say, wow, the sweater's so nice. Let me see where it was made. Let me feel the fabric. How much does it cost? But you really do want it. So you're not being over what the Mishnah says, but you don't have money, which is what Rabbi Yehuda says. V'lu yada hamocher miza. If the proprietor knew this, but you don't have the money for it, he wouldn't be speaking to him. Why would he waste your time on you? He's here for a business. Yes, it could be very nice. It's not here to be your best friend. The guy's trying to make parnasa. And therefore, this falls under the category of ona'a a store. You go into a very expensive store. It doesn't mean department stores where the people, you know, don't care if you buy or you don't buy. You know, you go into Macy's and you're just window shopping. Maybe you'll see something you like. Maybe you'll see something you won't like. Maybe you'll find a surprise sale. We're talking about a small store, especially back in Talmudic times, you know, Rabbinic times, okay? Wasn't like shopping today, but still today, you do have small stores on Central Avenue or wherever you live. If you have, you know, small shops that are from owned, and they're not Target, they're not Macy's, they're not Nordstrom, they're not Lord & Taylor, and they're small stores trying to make a parnasa, so it's taka, not so pasha, that just because, you know, you go to the sidewalk sale, okay, very nice, every year go to the sidewalk sale, you literally don't have the money to buy anything, chas v'shalom, not even a $5 coffee, nothing, whatever, you just go to window shop, shouldn't go over to the store proprietor, you're not allowed, halachically, under the prohibition of ona'a svarim, to go over to the store owner and say, how much is this sweater, when you know you cannot afford to buy the sweater? You just violated the law of ona'a svarim. So the Mishnah says he doesn't want to buy it. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have the money to buy it. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't codify the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chafetz Chaim explained ways to reconcile that. Okay. V'chachamim peligi alav bezeh. And the Chachamim, the sages, disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about this. But that's why it wasn't codified as the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So the sages disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, my husband's just asking me, one second. I'm sorry. You know I never do that, but this one needed to be answered right now. I'm sorry. Finished. Okay. So the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Chachamim say it's if he doesn't want to buy it, but you're going to see how the Chafetz Chaim resolves the fact that maybe Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not on Ona'as Dvarim at all, and you're going to hear why. Listen why. And then the Chafetz Chaim says, so to either from the Gemara and Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis, which I have right here. Okay, so the Gemara teaches, okay, Shlosha Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Yishmael LaRabbi. Rabbi Yishmael taught Rabbi Yehuda Nasi three things. He commanded him regarding three things. Okay, and what are one of the three things? Why is the Chafetz Chaim quoting? So I'm now in Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Listen to this. Va'al ta'amor al hamikach b'shar she'en chadamim. Ah, Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis, do not stand near the merchandise. Al ta'amur al hamikach. Do not stand by the merchandise when you have no money. So that sounds a lot like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's ona'as dvarim to go into a store if you know you don't have money to eye the item, to ask how much it costs. You are just over the law of ona'as dvarim. So the art scroll footnote to Maseches Pesachim says as follows. Listen carefully. One of the three things Okay, Rabbi Yishmael instructed Rabbi Is al tamar al hamikach b'shash ein chadari. This has a lot of practical application for the private owned stores, whether it's Central Avenue or Main Street in Queens or whatever community you live in. You have to be very careful, and we don't tend to think of this as onas dvar, but this is a codification of halacha. It is mamish verbal oppression, and it's all based on the law of deoraisa that we spoke about. You have to be very, very careful. So the article footnote explains as follows. The commentators offer different reasons here. What is the reason that you can't stand over an item at the time when you don't have money? The Rashbam explains. I'm going to tell you the Lashon of the Rashbam in his original Lashon, not from the article footnote. The Rashbam explains, why can't you stand by the mikach b'shash einu damim? Why can't you stand by the item if you don't have any money? Lishchar hamocher yisraelhu. Okay, so what's going on here? In this business transaction, the seller is an Israelite. Okay, so we're talking about a Yiddish owned shop. And you do not have money to buy the item. V'nimtza, it will be found, mafsido chinam. You're going to cause him a loss for no reason. Shelo yikachenu acher, me'achar she'alta mehapech bo. No one else will buy it because they see you turning it over, examining it. So someone else will come into the store, another woman, and she sees you eyeing that unique, beautiful sweater. You're holding it up. You're looking at it. You're measuring the sleeve length. You put it against your chest. How does it look with my skin color? Think it will be nice with bar mitzvah Friday night. You're looking at the sweater. You know you don't have the money to buy this sweater because your budget's 100. It costs 500. But someone else comes into the store. She can afford the sweater. She also likes the sweater. But because you are holding it, examining it, think about it, she won't buy it. So that's the Rashbam on the Gemara in Pesachim. Al tamar al mikach b'shashay nechadamim. Don't stand by an item for purchase when you don't have money. Why? So the Rashbam says, I'm going to tell you this lashon now that I explained it to you. Lischor hamocher yisraelhu. Ve'ein nechadamim liknos hamikach. V'nimtza mafsido chinam. Shelo yikachenu acher ma'acha sha'ata ma'hapechvo. So according to the Rashbam, how's you going to lose money? Because you are eyeing it. The next guy or woman's going to come in, she's not going to buy because she thinks you're taking it when really you are not taking it. So that's the opinion of the Rashbam. This will result in an unnecessary loss to the vendor. Rabbeinu Hananel explains, going back to the article footnote, since you will not purchase the item in the end, you will reduce the value in the eyes of the vendor. Maybe it's not good enough. Maybe it's not of high standards enough. You reduce the value in the eyes of the vendor. Ben Yehoyada says, the loss may be suffered by either the vendor or other buyers. How so? The vendor will incur a loss if others see you walk away from the item. So they might think, oh, she put it down, she examined it, she walked away. There must be something defective. There must be something not good in that beautiful sweater if she didn't buy it. Since they will assume it's not a good purchase. If it was a good purchase, you would have bought it. The buyer will incur a loss if they want to purchase that item, since they will offer a higher price in order to buy it before you do. So the buyer will incur a loss as well. Why? If they want to purchase the item, the buyer, in other words, the other guy who really can't afford to buy it, but they see you holding it, so they'll go over to the store owner and they'll say, oh, $500, but I'm going to pay $575. So they've just incurred a loss because they're paying a higher price. Imagine sensitivity of halacha. It's unbelievable. They're paying the foresight of Chazal and all the possibilities that they foresaw. And the commentators, they're going to pay a higher price because they think you want it, even though you really don't want it. And now, so you cause a loss to the vendor, and you cause a loss to the buyer. So that's what the Gemara says in Pesachim, that Rabbi Yishmael, told three things to Rabbi, and one is, Al tamar al mikach b'shash ein chadamim. So let's go back to the Chavetz Chaim in our Sefer. So the Chavetz Chaim quotes this Gemara. Shlosh advarim tziva Rabbi Yishmael the Rabbi. Three things Rabbi Yishmael commanded Rabbi. One of them is what I just told you. Umash masham de'ein zer rak mida ba'alma. Okay, and we learn from here, is this, you might think from here, you might think this is just good advice. It's just a good midah of the world. You might not think it's a codification of Allah. It's just nice advice. Achein, however, Basoras Kohanim b'tosefta, mashma didin ha-mishna v'Rabbi Yehuda echad. Is this just good advice? That you're not allowed to stand by an item when you don't have money. Is it just a nice midah, or is it actually the halacha? So the answer is, however, in the Torah's Kohanim and in the Tosefta, we understand that the din of the Mishnah, remember what's the din of the Mishnah? Baba Metziah 58b, Baba Metziah Nun Chas Amad Beis, what's the din of the Mishnah? Einu Rotza Likach. He just doesn't want it. It has nothing to do with the amount of money he has in his wallet or doesn't have. He's just not interested. What's the din of Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't have money. So in the Torah's Kohanim and the Tosefta, we understand that the din of the Mishnah, he doesn't ainu ro tzili kach. The din of Rabbi Yehuda, ain lo damim, he doesn't have money, echad hu. The kevon she ain lo damim, because he doesn't have money, ainu ro tzili kach, doesn't want to buy it. So the reason he doesn't want to buy it, the Mishnah, is because he doesn't have money, like Rabbi Yehuda. So you can reconcile them and say that they're one and the same. V'chein muchach miperush Rashi b'gemar b'sugya. And so too we understand from Rashi on the sugya. Ulefi ayin sham, see there. Ulefi zeh berotza likach. Oh, so now we have to come to the conclusion. Ulefi zeh, and therefore according to this, berotza likach, when one wants to buy it. The Mishnah, the original Mishnah is quoted by the Gemara of Rabbi Matthias, he doesn't want to buy it. Let's say he really does want to buy it. He wants to buy it. She really wants a $500 sweater. Af she'ein lo damim. But she doesn't have the money to buy it. So is it onas dvarim? She wants it. So it's not like the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is you don't want it. Ein lo rotzi likach. In this case, rotzi likach, you want to buy it. Aval ein lo damim, but she doesn't have the money to buy it. So is it onas dvarim to go into the store and eye the sweater, examine the sweater, ask the price of the sweater? The answer is no, it's not on us, Tvarim. Why? Because they want it. And since they want it, they will come up with ways to save money, to find money, to make an extra parnasa, to sell more apples in the marketplace, so they'll be able to buy the sweater. Beautiful, beautiful sugya. Well, fiza berot salikach, and therefore, if one wants to buy it, af she'ein lo damim, Rabbi Yehuda, even if he doesn't have money, yeish lomar de'ein iser klal, then there's no isser. So if he doesn't want to buy and he doesn't have money and he starts to examine the sweater and ask the cost, he's over on onas dvarim because he has no interest in buying and he doesn't have the money. So it's onas dvarim. But if he does want to buy it, but he just doesn't have the money, he's not over. De'ein isser klal. There is no isser here of onas dvarim, verbal oppression. Why? Afla Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, she yishtadel lahasig damim. Because he will do everything possible to amass more money so he or she could buy the sweater. So now you see that Rabbi Yehuda, it's not so clear. When Rabbi Yehuda says, ein lo damim, doesn't have money to buy, it depends on if they want to buy the item or if they don't want to buy the item. If they don't want to buy the item and they don't have money, then you're over on onas dvarim if you go into the store and start asking how much a sweater cost, etc. Other buyers will be scared away. The vendor will lose. The prospective buyer will lose, etc. But let's say he does want to buy. Yes, wants to buy. Not like the Mishnah. Wants to buy. But like Rabbi Yehuda, he just doesn't have money. So you're allowed to go into the store and look at the item. You really want to buy it. So the answer is here, you're not over on any isser. Why? She'yishtadel asig damim. He'll make a lemonade stand. He'll do bottle refunds. They'll eat pasta instead of chicken that week for dinner. They'll do whatever they can to acquire more money to buy the purchase. So that once, therefore, if you want it, but you don't have the money at that time, it's not on us to buy. Very, very interesting, practical, and shows you how far-reaching halacha is. And I believe that this is not an aspect of Shmiras Halashon that we tend to think falls under the category of guarding our tongue. I don't know if we would, the layperson would think, would, you know, anticipate that shopping falls into the category of onas dvarim. Again, we're not talking about the big box stores, that's not what we mean, but it does. If you have no intention to buy, don't go into the store. You're going to get up the hopes of the store proprietor just because you want to pass the time. Go sit in the park on a bench and read a book. I don't know. Go for a walk. And if you really do want to buy, but you don't have money, so you have to know if you're going to start saving money or not. But stam to go into the store when you don't want to buy, the Mishnah, einu otzilikach, and you don't have money, ve'einu damim, so you are over on onas dvarim. Okay? Shaharei hadavar musar leliv, this matter is given over to the heart. V'chol davar hamusar leliv, and any matter that's given over to the heart, namar bovi yareisim elokecha. So when the Torah gives you a love that is given over to the heart, meaning, okay, what does it mean, given over to the heart? Only you know what, and Hashem, only you and Hashem knows what your intentions were. You could say, oh no, I really meant to buy it. Of course I meant to buy it. But you know you didn't really mean to buy it, and you know you have no interest in the item, but you say, oh, of course I meant to. You know, and the Ribbono Shel Olam knows, V'yareisim elokecha, u'shuvavir Hashem, Losonu Isha Samiso. We are Resam Elokacha. Why? Because you could say, oh no, I had the best of intentions. Of course I meant to buy it. It just didn't fit me. But you never meant to buy it in the first place. So V'yareisa Melkecha means that just because you think you're tricking other people, you can never trick the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, bottom of page 174. Hi. Oh, okay. So now I'm going back. We finished with Pesachim for now. Okay. We're going back to another Nekuda in Bava Metzia. Okay. So, 1 second. So, I'm going to go back to Bava Metzia, Nun Chas Amar Beis. The last thing we said in the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda explains, Aflo Yisla Eina Valamikach B'Shash Eino Damim. We explained this already. He shouldn't cast his eyes upon the merchandise at the time when he doesn't have funds. We spoke about it. Okay. And now the Gemara continues. Shaharei Hadavar Musar Laliv. The matter is given over to the heart. V'chol davar ha-musar l'alev, anything that's given over to the heart, namar bava yareisam elokecha. That's what the Gemara says. It says about it, you shall fear God. Okay. So the Gemara says, listen carefully, shaharei ha-davar musar l'alev. Shaharei, for behold, the matter is given over to the heart. Going back to the Chavetz Chaim says, hai shaharei. When the Gemara says, harei, behold, this matter is given over to the heart. Kai al kol ha-breisa. It's referring to the entire breisa, all the examples in the breisa, considering words which are permitted or forbidden regarding one's intent. Remember, we learned it some months ago. You can't say to a person, they sell food for your animals. They sell feed for the donkey, but you know that they don't sell feed for the donkey. So the Gemara gives a number of examples where words could either be the to'alas, positive or negative, and only you know. And Hashem knows. You could say, oh, I really thought at that, you know, road stop, at that rest stop, that they really did sell food for the animals. I didn't mean to steer him wrong. So you tell the donkey driver, oh, you could go to that gas station and get more, you know, fuel for your donkeys. Now, you knew it wasn't correct. Or remember, you're not allowed to say to a chozer b'teshuva or a ger, remember when your forefathers used to eat non-kosher? Remember either of those some months ago? Does anyone remember? Those are examples given in the Braisa here in the Gemara. So, harei kai okola Braisa. When it says harei hadavar musa laviv, behold, the matter is given over to the heart. It's talking about all examples given in the Braisa. Shabali tein ta'am, lama nambar bar yira. The Gemara is coming to give you a reason why these mitzvos, it says, you shall revere Hashem. Shall revere Hashem because you think nobody knows you're doing onas dvarim. You could proclaim your innocence. No, I didn't mean to make him feel bad that his ancestors, his grandfather ate treif over the kochavim. I meant to give chizuk. But really, you didn't mean to embarrass him. Hashem knows. I thought that at that gas station, they, you know, sell food for the donkeys. No, you didn't. So the Gemara says, Yira, and this harei, the davar musar lalei, refers to all examples that the Gemara brings about onas dvarim. Okay. Lahachi ka'amar. And here is the explanation. Sharei kol hadvarim halalu, all these things, ein tovasan vira'asan musara lahakir. In regard to all these matters, whether they're good or they're bad, it's not recognizable. Ela l'liba shel osa. It's only recognizable in the heart of the one who is saying the words or giving the advice. Hu yodeya. Only he knows im la'akel o la'akal kaloso. Only he knows if his intent was for good, if his intent was innocent, or if his intent was bad, to embarrass somebody, to shame them. Sheyachol hu lomar. He's able to say, lo asisi kim tova. I only did good. He's able to say that. Hayisi sovir sheyesh lo tfulim kar. I was so certain that place where I sent you had grain to sell. Oh, hayisi chafetz diknos mikachzat. No, you could say, I really did want to buy this. Now, you know you didn't. Hashem knows. You see the Chavetz Chaim ends by saying Rashi. Tell what the Chavetz Chaim is referring to. In Bava Metzia, Nunchas, Harei Hadavar Musa Lalev, the last paragraph that we just read is a quote of Rashi. Okay, that's Rashi on the Gemara. The Chavetz Chaim is just quoting Rashi from the Gemara from Bava Metzia. Okay? You have to be very, very careful. You could say, oh, of course you meant to buy the sweater. No, you didn't mean to buy the sweater. And only you and the Ribbono Shel Olam know. And you're actually over on this category of onas dvarim, verbal oppression. Page 176. Od amusham. Furthermore, the Gemara says there, Bava Metzia, we still know Nunchas Bava Metzia. Gadol onas dvarim, me'ona'as mamom. Verbal oppression, verbal abuse, is worse than taking advantage of somebody's money. Because when it comes to ona asdvarim, verbal oppression, it says you shall fear God. But when it comes to business dealings, money, monetary transactions, it doesn't say you shall revere God. Why? Money is external to a person. It's not part and parcel of who you are. We need it to exist. We need it to buy food. We need it to pay the heating bills. We need it to put clothing. We need it to send our children to yeshivos and day schools, yes. But it's not who you are. It's external to who you are. Zebegufo. However, when it comes to onas dvarim, verbal oppression, it's a person's very own self. You haven't taken advantage of their money. You've destroyed part of who they are with your words. Furthermore, money can be returned. The dignity of a person that you robbed them of by speaking harmful words cannot be returned. So I now go to, this is a Wayu Torah to go from, I just want to find the cover so I can tell you when it's from. If I can find the cover. I saved it. I can't find it. Doesn't matter. On the bottom. Okay. Rosh Hashanah 5783. This is an article by Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. Okay, so this is from this past Rosh Hashanah. It comes out a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. So, Elo Tishrei Kashrei. So, I've been saving it. I kept it with my Kunshas Chavos HaShmir Sefer. And I want to share with you, this is the right time, I feel, to share it. Because we're talking about the fact that the last thing we just read in the Chavetz Chaim is quoting the Gemara is, Ona'as Mamon can be paid back. Ona'as Tvarim cannot be paid back. So that's the kasha halachically, and we're going to see. So the first thing is we're learning about the halachas of onas dvarim today with a lot of practical application. Think about the next time you just stop, go to Central Avenue or Main Street, or, you know, Avenue J or 13th Avenue to, you know, just go shopping. It's not so pasha. And now we have a kasha. Can harmful words be made up for? So this is an article from Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. He's on the Rosh Yeshiva at Reitz. He's also the rabbi of Congregation or Sadra Synagogue in Teaneck, New Jersey. If you remember, I've quoted him from him before. When have I quoted from him before? Remember his Sefer, False Facts and True Rumors? We've quoted from that before. Okay, at least one person says that they remember. Okay, he is a true expert in the laws of Lashon Hara, Rechila, Shmir, Salashon, etc. So this was from before this past Rosh Hashanah, and the article is called, ready? Forgiveness for Lashon Hara, Reparations, Repentance, and Redemption. Here we go. The code of, I'm not reading you the whole article. I highlighted the parts I want to share. If you want the whole article, you could probably find it online. The code of Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch, here we go, back to the Shulchan Aruch, rules that one who embarrasses another with words should be excommunicated until he appeases the victim. Pretty strong halacha, no? One who embarrasses another codifies the Shulchan Aruch with words. Shulchan Aruch says he should be excommunicated until he appeases the victim. And Rav Moshe Isserles, the Rama, in his glosses, emphasizes that slander is included in this category. Despite the basic exemption from monetary damages, the victim may legitimately, the person who was insulted, may legitimately condition his forgiveness on some kind of restitution. So he may condition forgiveness to the person who verbally embarrassed Lashon Hara, slandered him, on some kind of restitution. Indeed, throughout the generations, rabbinic courts and individual authorities have considered the question of what action should be taken against specific perpetrators of disparagement and slander, and have acted accordingly. By the way, if you look up the, you could probably find it on the Wayu Torah to go, Rosh Hashanah 5783 online. He gives sources for everything. That Rabbi Daniel Feldman's Sfarim are very comprehensive. I have one on Chesed. I have one called The Right and the Good. I have a Sefer on Lashon Hara and Shmiras HaLashon. He gives his sources for every single, almost every sentence of what he quotes. So if you're interested, you could look it up and find the sources as well. But the rabbinic courts, the Bati Din, throughout the generations, have considered the question of what action should be taken against a specific perpetrator of disparagement and slander. In 1965, listen to this, the Israeli government, basing itself on values of Jewish tradition, passed a law that imposes penalties, including imprisonment, for acts of Lashon Hara against another. However, the question of monetary compensation is actually the less vexing part of the equation. So you could say the halacha is you have to monetarily compensate the person who you hurt with your lashon hara, with your words, with your nazdvar. But Daniel Z. Feldman says that's the least part of your problems, the money. That's the less complicated part of the equation. It is the appeasement that is significantly more challenging. And that's the lesson we read in the Chavetz Chaim, this quote of the Gemara. Onas mamon could be returned. Can onas dvarim be returned? The Gemara says it can't be. So what's a person supposed to do? It's very scary. As noted, the effects of Lashon Hara are far-ranging and often irreparable. As such, it is often not possible for the offender, the person who did the bad speaking, to come to the victim and claim he has resolved the issue. Can you go to the victim and say, oh, I resolved the issue? Can you claim you rectified the problems you caused? And consequentially, it is understandable that the victim may be hesitant to forgive because it is an ongoing offense. We don't usually think of our words. You know, we tend to think of the sin of speaking Lashon Hara in the moment. But no, Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman, and again, almost every sentence has a footnote, is an ongoing offense. When you cause ona'as dvarim, the pain lingers. It's not a one-time action. And then if someone else heard, or someone else saw, and that person walked out of the store and didn't buy the sweater because they think you're going to buy it as per the Rashbam, and there's a ripple effect to what you did. It's not a one-time offense. The victim may be hesitant to forgive what is essentially an ongoing offense. Indeed, there's a view in the Gemara and brought in the later codes that while it's considered cruel, achzari, or the Rambam speaks about this, or even sinful not to forgive someone who is truly penitent. So someone comes to you and they're really a chozer b'teshuva and they did something wrong to you, so it is achzari, the Rambam says, not to forgive them. However, quote, it may be acceptable not to forgive a slanderer. As the commentaries explain, attempts at rectification are unreliable. Too many people may have heard the slanderous accusations, but not the correction and the apology. So, I don't know, you post something on WhatsApp, and hundreds of people read it because it's forwarded. You know when a forward says forward too many times? So now you go and you ask for forgiveness. That's very nice. But too many people have heard the slanderous accusation, but not the correction and the apology. And therefore, the commentators explain, attempts at rectification are unreliable. Regardless, it is laudable and recommended to forgive nonetheless. But the justification of hesitancy is instructive. So Rabbi Daniel Z.O. Feldman says, it is laudable and commendable. It takes a tremendous person, but it's commendable to forgive the speaker. However, just the very fact that the Chazal and the commentators are hesitant, if forgiveness is possible, is in itself instructive. It tells us how great the sin of hurting someone with words is, that the sages actually question, can there ever be any forgiveness for this? That's a terrifying thought. The sages wonder if you could actually have forgiveness for this. Presumably, these considerations are not limited to slander, writes Rabbi Feldman, but any of the other interpersonal offenses that have irreparable consequences. Some authorities assert that if the speakers made a sincere effort to correct his slander in the eyes of the listeners to the greatest intent possible, he has a right to be forgiven. So can you even make up for sins of speech? Onas dvarim, verbal abuse, it's not so clear. It's mamash not so clear. It's not even so clear if you have a right to. Listen to continuing. Again, I'm not reading the whole article. However, there's another factor that is very significant in obstructing reconciliation. It's an obstruction. It's a barrier to reconciliation between two parties. And it sits at the center of a major dispute, listen to this, between two giants of ethical leadership. There's a major machlokas between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chavetz Chaim. Why? One of the primary advocates of the active focus on character development, the Musar movement, was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal, 1810 to 1883. Given this focus, it is expected he would have strongly supported the Chavetz Chaim in his writings. Since Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the father of the Musar movement, you would think he would give tremendous hachskama to the Chavetz Chaim. Nonetheless, according to several reports, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter declined to give a written endorsement to the Chofetz Chaim's book. Why? While he agreed with the work's general message on Shmiras HaLashon, there was one ruling he felt he could not associate himself with. The risk was too great. His endorsement, his haskama, his approbation would be seen as concurring with the ruling. What is the ruling of the Chofetz Chaim that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter fundamentally disagreed with? By the way, it's not for us to say who's right and who's wrong. We're talking about two Torah giants. How about the Chofetz Chaim and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? This single controversial ruling concerns the question of apology and reconciliation following an offense of Lashon Hara. So there's an offense, and now you want to apologize and make up with the person. The Gemara teaches repentance is ineffective for sins committed against another person unless apology is made to the victim and forgiveness is obtained. So we know that. Not even the Gemara, the Mishnah teaches that. And the Maseches Yuma, the last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma. Mishnah Test tells you that Yom Kippur is not a mechaper on Bein Adam Mechaveiro ad sheyiratzeh es chaveiro. So we know Beferush from the time of the Mishnah that it's brought down that Yom Kippur is only mechaper on sins Bein Adam Makom. If you do teshuva Bein Adam Mechaveiro, you have to seek forgiveness and you have to make up with the person. The apology is in the hands of the offender to do. However, Lashon Hara presents a unique challenge. It is usually expected in apologizing, one is required to specify the offenses. It's not enough to post on your WhatsApp status, does everyone forgive me? We should not mouth a general confession that lacks any recognition of the particular manner of the harm which we did. It's not real asking for mechila. Do you forgive me for anything I did for you this year? What did you do? You have to specify what you did so that the victim can actually state their forgiveness. And you can go into Yom Kippur, Bezrat Hashem, with a clean slate. However, often hurtful comments have been made outside the presence of the subject, who may be ignorant to what you said about them. To apologize under such circumstances means you're now inflicting emotional pain on the victim of malicious gossip. Is that warranted? Can you do that? The last thing we read on the Chofetz Chaim in our Sefer, even though we're talking about the Chofetz Chaim now, in the Sefer is, quoting the Gemara, Onas dvarim is worse than onas mamon because zeni tan li shavan v'zeloni tan li shavan. Onas mamon, you can repay. Onas dvarim, can you repay? It's a bit kasha. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the answer is clear. The Torah's strong prohibition against causing emotional suffering is the priority. The offender would have to find some other way to clear his conscience and set things right. But to do so at the expense of the victim was not acceptable. So if Rabbi Salanter says, sorry, you can't go to the victim just because you want kapara and tell them what you did and ask for forgiveness. So you have a big problem. According to Rabbi Salanter, you can't do that. Why? Because now you're causing them pain. So you're causing them pain so you can be cleansed. Isn't that a little bit backwards? However, the Chofetz Chaim, the issue is more complicated. So according to Chofetz Chaim, it's more nuanced, and for this reason, historically, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would not give his approbation to the work of the Chofetz Chaim dealing with inyanim of speech, because he felt, I can't give a haskama, because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter disagreed. He said, Zaloni tan li shavan. I can't go over to the guy and say, listen, exactly what I said about you on this day, do you forgive me? Making the guy feel terrible. So now what should you do? Now we're talking a very big problem. If the gossip was ineffectual, it didn't have an effect, causing no apparent damage to the subject, the Chofetz Chaim agreed with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. There's little to be gained by informing the subject in order to gain forgiveness. So if it was ineffectual, you didn't cause any bad damage or effects, okay? There's little to be gained by informing the subject in order to obtain his forgiveness. The Chofetz Chaim there agrees with the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. However, if there was harm inflicted by the speech, the Chofetz Chaim holds, it is necessary to tell the subject what has been done and to apologize. Footnote 15, Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Part 1, Klal 4:12. So according to the Chofetz Chaim, if damage was done to the victim, according to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you have to do something else. Good luck, but you can't ask them for forgiveness. How am I supposed to go into Yom Kippur? It's a problem. But the Chofetz Chaim indeed says, if there was harm inflicted by your speech on the victim, it will be necessary to tell the subject what had been done and to apologize. Reportedly, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter found this ruling so objectionable, He refused to associate his name with the entire Sefer, despite its immense overall value. I don't have much to conclude. We call it Chazal, we call it the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara, Rashi. The Gemara in two different places. The opinion of the commentators, Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. It's a very big avoda. It's a very frightening avoda. Like my brother Rabbi Dov Fried said to me many years ago, Michal, just because something is hard for me doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. Shabbat Shalom Shatakas, give us the clarity, Siyata Deshmaya, the Chizak and the Koach, to understand the grave importance of all of our words, so we should know when and how to speak, and when and how not to speak. We should just continue to merit tremendous Siyata Deshmaya in this area. We hope and we daven that the neshamos of Tzvi Gershom ben Yoav Chana Lav Hashem and Zev Wolf ben Yishai Lav Hashem both merit aliyos and the merit of these very, very important, very practical, very sobering, very important words of Torah. Thank you. The sponsor never wants me to thank her, but I really do very much, because I think that they are changing a lot of lives. The Gemara says that one who holds back from saying a negative thing at the time of argument is holding up the world. So they're very anonymous, but they should continue to hold up the world and bring zechuyas to all of us. I wish everybody a chodesh tov. Again, chodesh kislev, and ba'azor Hashem, I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.